feeling like a fish eating pebbles. Like, that's what it looks like. Their lips look like that when they're like drinking out of the straw. They're like, I will never have smile lines. And it's like, girl, please just smile. Please
Hey,
just smile.
everybody.
Oh! You're gonna have to cut that.
No, I think it's hilarious. Did you realize that I hit record? I thought you heard.
Doesn't tell me.
Hey, God. It doesn't tell you?
No, it just shows up in the corner.
Oh my gosh. Wait, it like says it to me.
Oh, no.
That's crazy. It didn't mean to scare you like that. Yeah. Welcome back to the Man I Love Film podcast. I'm Issa.
And I'm Chell.
We were just discussing how those stupid straws that are meant to prevent wrinkles are literally our last straw in terms of like what?
I just realized what they remind me of. They remind me of those things that, like, you know how hamsters have to drink water out of that thing and they have to like lick it? That's what they remind me of, because it's just, oh my gosh. Like, it's fine. It's fine to have wrinkles. Like, you don't need baby Botox at 25. I promise. It's fine.
It's chill. It's like.
It is so sinister. Like, the amount of times that I see, like, on my For You page things like, or even just like the Met and like this whole thing about people on Ozempic and this like skinny chic coming back. It's sinister. It's evil. I think, you know how like previously I talked about how I need to be like Master Oogway and like disappear into a petal of like cherry blossoms from the internet. I think that's
Yeah.
what needs to happen to protect my peace right now. I need to let go of my phone.
It's evil. But yeah. Anyways, this week we watched Hoot for the first ever podcast anniversary. Woo.
What just happened? I think I clicked something and it was like, ask her to unmute. And I was like, what?
I've been silenced on the podcast anniversary.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We should have like we should insert like fireworks, cannonballs, you know, like, well, I guess
Try to
cannonballs is
find.
like more 4th of July, but
I'll try to find sound effects.
riveting noises.
Insert riveting noises here. But yeah, so I was trying to think because it was my turn to pick this week of something Florida-y because that's where we're from and we never shut up about it to celebrate. And I didn't want to pick the Florida Project because that one's really sad and it's happy vibes today. So instead, I went with, the next obvious choice, Hoot from 2006.
I'm trying to think of other Florida movies. Let me look it up. Florida movies. Let's see. Movies set in Florida. Caddyshack. Oh, Bad Boys is set in Florida. I didn't know that. Crawl, that
Moonlight.
gator movie during the hurricane. Because of Winn-Dixie is also set in Florida.
Dang it, I didn't think about that. I should have chosen that one.
The
Isn't it like
Birdcage is set in Florida.
I should have let you pick this week?
Wait, what did you say about because of a Dixie?
I was about to be like, isn't Winn-Dixie kind of like religious?
Is it?
I don't remember. Maybe I'm confusing it with Bridge to Terabithia, or maybe they both are.
I Is it not the same girl in both?
It is the same girl in both.
I thought because of when Dixie was like she finds the dog and like it like helps.
I think I've seen that movie once in my entire life.
I remember we read the book when I was a kid and then we saw the movie. But yeah. So it's been forever because I haven't been like, let's crack this one open. Apparently Jeepers Creepers is in Florida. Oh, the dolphin tail. The one where it's like the dolphin without a tail.
Yeah.
The Water Boy by Adam Sandler. Oh, Moonlight, Magic Mike. Let's see
So
what
what I'm
else.
hearing is there were many options before. It's fun. It's fun.
It's No, because I never thought about any of those. Or like, not that I never thought about them, but like I would have to Google to like, because I feel like I watch movies and I'm like, oh, this is somewhere in a tropical place. And then I forget that like most of the US is not a tropical place.
You're like,
I'm
that really
sorry.
narrows it down to like maybe California and Florida.
Yeah, like if they have a beach, I don't know why in my head usually I assume it's California. I guess it's because like movie, you know, dun,
Yeah.
dun, 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 like the whole like movie fanfare is like over there. So like,
Well, some of Hoot was filmed in California, which I was like, boo, cheating.
oh yeah, I saw that.
But before we get into Hoot, though, have you watched any new movies recently?
I don't think so. I'll be real. I think, let me see, what have I seen? No, I haven't seen anything since Penelope. I'm an interesting person. When I get like overwhelmed, I've been watching Queso streaming Minecraft. I don't, do you know who that is? Well, he streams. He's a stream. I watch the stream through TikTok Live. So to really give you an essence of how I'm viewing this Twitch stream through TikTok, and it's always called No Sleep All Night Minecraft. And so I'll eat my little dinner like that little mouse who's like
Sandwich.
watch, yeah, watching Queso stream Minecraft with two other people. And like there's just this clip that I keep seeing over and over again where like he goes off of like a quest to get iron and like is like gone for a while and he comes back and the two other people have only made a bridge to a cave where there's nothing there. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're back! Like our bridge.
They're like,
And
we made so much progress.
it makes me want to play Minecraft.
We can play Minecraft.
I would love to play Minecraft. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. What have you seen?
I watched The Idea of You, that new Anne Hathaway, Nick Galitzine movie. I'm calling him Nick now. It's too much. It's a mouthful to say all of it every time, considering how often he comes up on this podcast. I enjoyed it. You know, I think that I didn't necessarily have low expectations, but I had correct expectations, and it's exactly what I wanted. So I enjoyed it. It wasn't like Oscar winning. I didn't want it to be. I loved it. I was giggling and kicking my feet.
I'm wearisome because I haven't seen it yet, but I love Anne Hathaway. Do not like I love Anne Hathaway. When I was a kid watching Princess Diaries, I was like, whoa, she's got it.
She's still
Like,
got it.
I watched Les Mis. That was a long movie. She's not even in a lot of it. I didn't realize until I watched the movie. But anyway, love Anne Hathaway. But I am concerned. Like what we were talking about when Barbie was coming out, we were like, I don't know about the hype, if it's gonna lead, like, you know, match the expectations, and we were like worried about it. That's how I feel about this. Because I've seen TikToks and I feel like this phrase gets thrown around a lot. Rom-coms are back. I don't know how I feel about the phrase, just because I've heard it applied to a lot of movies, a lot of which I haven't seen yet. So maybe I'm a hater, but also, I've seen quite a few of the older rom-coms. Like some of them are like, I love When Harry Met Sally. That is one of my favorite, but it's also one of the best, like most people agree it's one of the best rom-coms of all time. So like I get really worrisome because how heavy on the rom, how heavy on the com plays into how I see the movie. So I'm just a little worried.
Yeah, honestly, there's not that much calm. Like, there's calm parts. But I'd more just call it like a romance, not in like a Nicholas Sparks kind of way. But I feel like people just call romance movies rom-coms, when
Okay.
a lot of times they're just, it's like, what movie was it recently where you saw and it could not have been Civil War? You saw it and I didn't, and I was like, is it like a something comedy? And you were like, I mean, there are funny parts, but like, I cannot remember what that was. But that's kind of like, maybe I'm not even remembering the right person that I was
We'll
talking
come up with
to.
it later. We'll figure
But
it out. No, okay. I get what you're saying. I feel like that sets me up a lot better for this then. To know that it's more of a, it's like actually just a com or a, not a comedy. It's a romance movie.
yeah.
Okay, cool.
And then I saw The People's Joker, which was really fun and like unique. So I personally am like, I refuse to watch The Joker, like the one with
Joaquin Phoenix.
yeah. Unfortunately, I still enjoyed this, not having seen it. There's a lot that you're kind of like, this is referencing something and I don't understand. And unfortunately, the thing it is referencing is the Joker. I'll leave that up to everyone's discretion whether or not it's worth the context to apply to this
Okay.
movie,
So it's like close enough of a parody that it like you can tell like it's referencing the movie rather than just like Joker in general as a character.
I think it references a lot of Batman things, and then
Yeah.
one of the larger things that it references is the Joker. I have no clue. From what I've gathered, the plot of the Joker is just like man becomes evil, but like there's no real plot, honestly. Like,
Oh,
I don't
I
know.
haven't seen it.
Yeah, I have no clue. But that's what my assumption is. And I don't care if I'm right or wrong, because I don't care to ever see that movie. So I couldn't tell you though, like if the People's Joker follows the plot or lack thereof of the Joker. But there's like scenes that I remember like there being memes about, or like that you just inevitably see clips of sometimes that I'm like, this is referencing this thing, but like I haven't seen enough of the clip to understand what's happening or like what this is supposed to be a reference to. So unfortunately, probably your experience will be enhanced by having seen the Joker. You need to, I'll leave that up to you. But it was really good and funny. And then I saw Hundreds of Beavers. Have you heard about this one?
I have. So, like, they only show those movies at like the local theater here. I just haven't been able to catch them recently because obviously, local theaters have specific times and they'll only have a few a week. And then, like, I work usually nights. So it's like, I'm cooked. So, but I saw like they posted about it on Facebook. I follow the Facebook.
Yeah. Kira was asking me to watch it because her friend had was like, this movie is amazing, like you should watch this movie. And she was like, all right. And Kira, I don't know if I would say she's not a movie person, she's very picky about movies. Okay. Like some of the best movies of all time she'll give like one star, and then some of the worst movies you've ever seen are like her favorite. I'm sorry, Kira, I know that you would say the same of me, and that's fine.
Me with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
But I'm trying to remember if she loves Alvin. She either, that's the thing too. She either loves them or hates them, and there's no in between with like any movie ever. So she watched this movie for this friend, and she absolutely hated it. And I could tell just based on the trailer that she would hate it, because basically, if anyone listening hasn't heard of it, it's like a slapstick comedy, kind of like a silent film. There's like one word dialogue sprinkled every maybe 45 minutes. It's supposed to resemble kind of like a Tom and Jerry cartoon, but live action. And objectively, is it unique and creative and really impressively clever? Yes. But I can only watch beavers turn into food so many times. You know how, like in cartoons, when
Whoa, whoa,
someone's really hungry and they like, you know, like in Madagascar, when Alex the
they're on
lion
the
is,
boat.
and everybody turns into food? That happens like 25 times at least in this movie. And the movie is like an hour and 45 minutes long. And by the halfway point, I'm like, when is this gonna be over? I paid $6 for this. I have to finish it.
Sorry, but low key, I feel like it's kind of like a runner's high. You know, where they hit that like place where they're like, I can't take it anymore, but if they get a little further, they're like fine again. I feel like that's how I would be with the same joke. Like 25. I feel like, okay, by like 7, I'd be like, okay, how many more times are we gonna do this? By 12, I'd be like, we gotta stop.
So
I
many
think once we hit 16, I'd be like, this may be the funniest joke of all time.
You might like it then, especially if you watch it with your brother. I could see you and your siblings like enjoying this as a group. But I watched this by myself in my bed, and by the midway point, I was shocked that I honestly even made it that far. I was like checking in and out. I was like on my phone. Like, yeah, I don't. It gets so insane that it's like, I mean, this is funny. Like, I laughed. There were parts where I laughed, but was it worth it? Was it worth the hour and 45 minutes? Again, I'll leave it up to you. But that was everything that I saw before watching Hoot.
Dang, that's crazy. I gotta get on my movie grind. One of my friends, Alex, he like also really likes movies, and he'll post on his story like edits, and I'm like, this is great. I love this. But he posted an edit from Perfect Days. And he was like, I love this movie, like, whatever. And I was like, where did you watch it? And he was like, I watched it on Mubi, which he watches a lot of movies on Mubi, Mubi. And I was like, not Tubi, because I love Tubi. I would have known. So he watches a movie. And then, like, that was like a week and a half ago. Why'd I get a text being like, so have you seen it? Whoa, 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 whoa. This is my catch-up time. These 2 weeks, I'm dedicated to the craft of movie watching. I promise y'all, I'll have an update. This is like the third one episode in a row where I'm like, yeah, I watched the movie for this week, and that's it.
They're like, I
You know,
thought this was a movie podcast. She doesn't even
gotta
watch
do it
movies.
for the fans, for the fans. I gotta get better about it.
I guess before we get into the movie, I have to remember to do this top of podcast before people check out. don't forget to give us 5 stars if you enjoy this, or you could just do it right now and you don't have to listen to the rest of it if you don't want to. I won't hold it against But we'd
I
love to
thought that was
have
gonna
you.
I didn't know where that was going. I was like, are we gonna ask for like a regular rating? Be like, honestly, just give your opinion.
We're like middle ground, 3.5, we'll take it.
Real.
But that being said, would you like to read the Letterboxd summary for Hoot?
Yeah, sure. So Hoot from 2006. It's time to stand up for the little guys. A young man moves from Montana to Florida with his family, where he's compelled to engage in a fight to protect a population of endangered owls. And yeah, I would say that's the
That's pretty much the
that's
plot.
cut and dry.
There are less than 1,000 reviews for this movie.
When did you first see this movie?
I definitely saw it as a child, but it wasn't like a childhood staple for me.
I
I've not
definitely saw
touched
this
it
at
since
school.
then. Oh, okay. I don't think I
I
did.
don't remember if I can't who distributed this movie? Was it Universal? Who
I have
owns
no
this movie?
idea.
Because let me tell you, it was not on Disney Plus.
It was on Tubi. Did you watch it on Tubi?
I did watch it on Tubi.
Okay.
It is owned by New Line Cinema. Okay. Oh, it's like Warner Bros. But yeah, I feel like I definitely watched this at school at one point. Probably because I didn't remember the end. So, like, still like something they popped on when it was like hurricaning outside and they were like, come on, kids, no PE. And you still had to sit in the sweaty locker room, but like watch a movie on like a TV they pulled out on a cart. I'm pretty sure that's where I watched this movie.
And you don't know how it ends until now.
Yeah. But
Yeah. Naturally, as I said, I was like, Florida Project, who's sad? What else is there? Immediate thought, Hoot. I don't know why that was my immediate thought. I didn't care for this movie growing up. I guess, ooh, no, is that strong words for you?
no, I thought you were in an environmentalist mood.
I thought you were talking about like my job. Like, since my job is like,
Oh, I meant the movie.
I was like, I mean, it is my job, but not necessarily. I just was trying to think of like what has like Florida vibes, that isn't devastating.
This movie, ooh, the Florida vibes are off the charts. Just a couple things off the top of my head. Jimmy Buffett wrote all the music and produced the movie, which RIP Jimmy.
Well, he was also the teacher.
Yeah, he was also an actor. He was like involved.
Yeah.
There's a lot of any time that they would cut to commercial that I know is built in there, like they would like transition, but it wouldn't be a transition. It was like in Hannah Montana where they're like they cut to a scene of the beach and they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's just like, you know what
But
I'm talking about?
instead of Hannah Montana, it's just like a Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah, it's a Jimmy Buffett song playing pelicans flying in the sky in a Florida sunset, or like a clip of like a mangrove forest for some reason. None in the movie, but like we get clips like swamp clips. We get like any kind of clips they can put in there, they do. And also kind of like in the midpoint we get a montage and it's like low-key boring. It's endearing. It's endearing. But it's like boring in the way that Florida summer days are. I don't, you know what, it's like
Just hot,
I
and
don't
you're sitting in front of the fan, and
yeah.
you're like, someone just put an end to my misery.
Nothing better to do. Or like those field trips that I don't know if your school did them, but they would be to like the reserve, the local reserve, and it is a grillion degrees out there. You're sweating. You're in like knee length shorts and it's
There's like
hot.
12-foot adult alligators fully crossing the pathway.
We're like, hey kids, we're gonna go to Alligator Alley. And this is like after they sat you in like the inside part for 10 minutes just to like teach you how to run away from the gators. And they're like, run crisscross, run crisscross. And then they're like, look at these little bones and skulls. And then they take you outside. It's a million degrees. You look at this gator pit and you're just staring at it. And maybe you're me and you're terrified of gators
You
and you hate
look
them.
at You look at the grass next to you, and there's like an oddly flat part where a bunch of gators may or may not have crawled back and forth there multiple times.
And then the whole guide is like, "Isn't that so cool, kids? Isn't it?" And they're like, "There are a lot of wild animals out here. If you see a snake, tell us." And then they're like, "Move on." And then they take you to sit outside, still outside. It's 95. And they're like, "Let's sit on the benches," and they give you a
A
an
warm
Uncrustables.
cheese sandwich, just cheese, no ham or
Oh yeah.
anything.
Or like in Uncrustables, maybe. And then you get back on the bus and you head back home. And that's a Florida field trip for you. That's a Florida field trip. Maybe they'll throw in some coloring pages. Maybe they'll throw in some infographics. But it's just, I'm sure everything's so hot. It's so bad. But that's what this middle montage reminded me of. I don't know if that's what it reminded you of.
Everyone just got like a really lengthy description of like a Florida field trip. But you know, it's fun. It's fun, you know, back when not a care in the world. But yeah, I guess so.
The start of the movie is like a ton of clips of mountains, and I was like, this is not Florida. The main character, Roy, which is Logan Lerman, right? Or am I
Yeah.
confusing him? Yeah, okay. I get him and Dylan O'Brien mixed up. I'm sorry. I know they're besties. It's just because they're like in pictures together. I'm like, okay. So he's from Montana, and his family travels a lot, and they decide to move to Florida to a place called Coconut Cove, which is not real.
Let it be known.
But so he moves, and we find out that there's a restaurant being built there. It's a buffet pancake place.
Yeah, it's like basically a Waffle House.
Yeah. And then they're going to be built, and it's going to be built, and we see these little owls and holes in the ground, and that's like basically it. And almost immediately, Roy is bullied horrendously. Like day zero, like he's on the bus. He hasn't made it
The
to
day hasn't
school.
even started yet.
No, it's 7 a.m.
And like the bully is like, "Hey, cowgirl."
And so he gets like bullied pretty bad, and he sees this kid running with no shoes on, and I guess that really,
He's
really got to him.
mesmerized by those dogs.
Yeah. And so he goes to school, like, it's fine. The next day he goes to school and he gets bullied even worse. He's getting choked out, which the bully has a thing for choking people out. It is crazy.
Pretty like kind of intense, like
Yeah.
what is fully like.
So he punches him. And then they let him off the bus, which I don't think they should have. They don't let kids off the bus. And so he runs and chases after the kid who was not wearing shoes. And he runs into a golf course, gets hit in the head with a golf ball. And then his parents are like, "You got to stop acting up, man." So at the same time this is happening, at the site where they're building this pancake place, someone's coming at night and like messing with the guy. And it's the guy from Holes. Like,
He's like in a lot of movies just as like a guy. I was like, if I had a nickel for every time this man was in a movie about holes, I'd have two nickels.
it's like him playing a henchman. He's done a lot.
It pays the bills, I guess.
You know, he's good at it.
Wilson. His letterboxed like member or like cast profile says like he refers to himself, I think, as like a modern character actor. I'm
I
like,
love that.
gotta respect it. But yeah. And then so this cop has been like signed to this site, I guess, to just like help keep an eye on things, because the vandal has like already hit this place multiple times, and he's played by, not the vandal, the cop, is played by Luke Wilson.
Yeah. And so because they actually haven't really done anything, all they've done is like pull the like
They
little
took some
markers out of the
stakes
ground.
out. Yeah.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on. But then we find out they've been throwing gators in the porta potties. Like 4 foot gate, 6 4-foot gators. And like it's a pretty big gator. Also, there's this like scene where he's like flashing light into the porta potty and the gator jumps out at him. When I was a kid, that was my biggest fear of all time, that there was going to be a gator in the toilet.
One time my brother was on the toilet and a frog came out of it.
See?
Sorry, Matthew, if that's like private. I can cut
Stranger things have happened in Florida.
it all out. Honestly.
But like, yeah, that was like a big fear of mine as a kid. So I watching this, I was like, oh, is this where it came from?
It's like big though. Like, I don't understand how you could have fit it in the toilet. I don't understand if you like went through the plumbing up out of the toilet or if you put them in the toilet. It's just a gator head.
Yeah, so this is obviously getting a little more serious. Roy is still chasing after the kid, but then he finds him and he gets captured by the kid because the kid has a bag of cottonmouth snakes. Which, where is he getting all of these animals? How is he keeping them? Like,
You know that TikTok account where a man just like walks around the Everglades at night and
yes, with no shoes on.
that's Mullet Fingers grown up. That's his name, by the way, is Mullet Fingers, and we never get a real name.
No. We don't. But yeah, this kid is like collecting dangerous Florida creatures, like that guy from the Everglades. No, that guy is crazy. I can't watch his videos. They make me fearful. I know he's fine, but like sometimes he's like filming a video and there's like 10 gators sitting in the water and it's just the eyes in the darkness. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do that. But yeah. So basically, he's like, stop following me. But Roy eventually connects the dots that the kid and also this girl he met at school called Beatrice, are connected to the site in some way. And so he talks to Beatrice, and Beatrice is like, actually, we're siblings. And he's on the run from military school. He got here from Alabama. But like this child is also like a child. So I don't know how no one's noticed he's missing. No one's called his parents. How did he walk from there to Florida? I don't know. So they hire security dogs to keep the site safe, and Bullet Fingers lets go all of these snakes so the dogs don't like they don't attack him like continuously, but he gets bitten and he gets sick. So they have to take him to the hospital, but they hijinks their way into escaping the hospital because they pretend that he's Roy,
Yeah.
and then he escapes the bed after he has an IV of like he's like connected to an IV, which is like that's a whole fear of mine is like ripping out an IV. There are so many fears of mine. That's
So
the
specific. That
movie.
one's not that specific, but.
But yeah. And so basically, I want to say, like, this is the point where the police officer is like on to Roy. He's like, Roy's
Yeah.
involved with this in some way.
They like, I don't remember how, I think like the bully is kind of like messing with Roy somewhere near the site, and then Roy escapes, but the bully is still on the site, and then they think that the bully is the person that's been vandalizing the site, and he already has like a long record of just like other crimes. And so Luke Wilson cop is like, we got him, we got the guy, hooray. But then this kid is like, it wasn't me, like I swear it wasn't me. And he's being interrogated in this room, no parents, no lawyer. And Luke Wilson cop pulls out a gator. He just pulls out a gator in the interrogation room, and the kid like jumps back and he's like, "You must be telling the truth, because if you were the vandal, you wouldn't be afraid of this gator.
It
Maybe
is
do
a
you have a
baby.
lie detector?" Like, police stations in Florida don't use lie detectors, they just whip out gators.
Yeah. So that's how he connects Roy to it. So now he's like following Roy around town, like trying to catch him because I guess he sees him and they do that like cartoon thing where they make eye contact and their eyes get real big and then one of them runs. And so he's like chasing him. Roy goes into the city. He goes to the public records department and finds the like environmental records. He does one Google search, very much Bella at the computer. And he just looks up burrowing owls and he's like, oh my gosh, they're protected. They're a threatened
All
species.
the I feel like you could have figured that just by them like simply existing in Florida, honestly.
And then so he finds that out. He goes to get the public records and he finds that they have been tampered with. Tampered with, the one page got ripped out and it's very obvious. But so the police officer's chasing him. He jumps into a boat with Beatrice and they drive away into the water. And they've invited the whole town to the site so that they can expose this like cover up. And while this is happening, Mullet Fingers is hog tying the owner of the Pancake Empire.
It's like a very Big Fat Liar-esque CEO who has flown in for like the opening. Also, they do all of this like just like event planning to push up the opening a day earlier, which I don't remember why they have to push it up. Do you remember?
It was because the guy was gonna bulldoze that day.
Okay.
Like the CEO flew in a day early to start bulldozing before the event, but then was like, we're gonna start today because I'm here. And so they have everyone come and then they have the CEO tied up and they tape the environmental protected owl paper to his back. So when the police officer comes, he's like, whoa, I think this is illegal. And then Logan Lerman stands on the stage and is like, who likes pancakes? I do too. And then he's like, but not here. So
Everybody's like, wait a minute, guys. I think he's right.
like, I don't even think he brings up the owls thing until the CEO jumps on the what's it called?
The bulldozer.
And then he's like, there are owls here, they're protected. And the CEO's like, no, they're not. Or well, they are, but they don't exist here. They're like chill. And so then they have everyone wait a minute. And then the little owls come out of the holes and they're like, arrest that man. So the CEO gets arrested. And Mullet Fingers, like, there is no closing to his story. He continues to live in this like boat parked in a dry marina, and like that's all the info we get. We get no closure on like how Beatrice's life is going.
No, like everybody gets like a little some sort of like ending thing. They're like, Roy and his family decided they like Florida after all, and they're gonna stay here. And Roy is like, he goes to all of Beatrice's soccer games now. She's supposed to be like kind of scary. They call her like Beatrice the Bear, and it's implied that she forcefully makes him come to every soccer game, but you know, if that's her happy ending. And they're like, and Mullet Fingers is still homeless, and he just goes to Roy's porch sometimes with like a shoe with a fish in it, and that's how he knows that he wants to hang out. And I'm like, so no one called like CPS for this child living alone in a boat.
like,
Okay.
yeah. And then they're like at the end, him and Roy are hanging out, and they're like, They're building condos here. We gotta protect the beach. It's like implied they go around like continuing to environmentally protect Florida.
They're like Florida Batman collectively.
But I feel like there are so many things that like I thought about while I was watching this movie. First of all, Florida does not film very well. Florida, nature of Florida is beautiful. I love nature of Florida. In the middle of a forest, you're not, it's not filming very well because Florida forests look tropically damp, but also have these really tall trees. So it's a lot of tall trees with like bushes and like dry leaves on the ground. So it just doesn't, and a lot of bug sounds. So it like just doesn't film very well,
Yeah, I
which is
think it.
endearing. I think it's very endearing to the film, but like I understand.
No, like you can clock immediately when something is being filmed in Florida because it's just like so distinct. Like, I remember the first time and only time that I watched Annihilation. I didn't know that it was supposed to be in Florida, but immediately I was like, oh, wait, is this Florida? And then I looked it up and it was at least part of it, because then that was the problem filming that too. They were like, it's like so thick here that we can't logically film this entire movie in Florida, because they wanted to, but they just couldn't. It was like impossible. They wouldn't be able to get like equipment around to use the areas that they want to. But yeah.
Genuinely, I forget that like Florida is not in media, at least like Florida that's not like Miami or like big city Florida is not like, or like beaches is not really included in like movies and stuff. Obviously, because of things like that, like you imagine the humidity, the bugs, the sound, the it's just a lot of hassle. But I do kind of love seeing the beach town and like all the murals on the walls. I feel like that's so Florida, where they'll have like murals of like fish, murals of dolphins, murals of like turtles. It's so
This
fun to me.
high school is like, if you typed in like an AI generator, Florida, oh, it's not a high school, it's a middle school. Florida middle school, this is what you would get. Jimmy Buffett is your teacher, and there's like manatee dolphin murals. They take like a marine life course in middle school, which like I have no clue if that's something that actually happened, because we are not from a beach town specifically, or at least I don't know if you've ever lived in one, but I haven't. But my Kira did grow up in a beach town, and I know that like they taught her specific facts and things, but I don't think that they had like an entire class dedicated to specifically like that ecosystem's wildlife. These are like middle school students. We're still working on like general earth science.
Yeah, I don't think we learned anything specific about beach life. But I also imagine if you're like from a county near a beach, like they probably teach them things like about jellyfish and stuff, just because they know the kids will probably encounter that. Kind of like how we learned a lot about gators and crocodiles and like what's the difference? I feel like that's just because we're like more likely to encounter them than like other people would.
Fair enough, fair enough. I was at the beach this weekend, and I almost swam into a jellyfish, and I was like,
Oh.
oh my
It's
gosh.
always in
Close
those moments when you're in the water, the thing you want to get away from starts waving towards you,
call. You're
like
like,
in the water, and you're like, no, you're like running in the water like a cartoon character.
and I didn't know if there's any around me either, because this is the only one I could see, and I was like, I don't even know if all jellyfish sting. I don't think so.
I don't think so. But still,
But
you
I
don't
didn't
want to,
want to
like,
find out. But
yeah.
yeah.
One
I
thing
guess.
I,
Oh, yeah.
Brie Larson is so much taller than both boys in this movie. And I was like, what is the age difference here between Brie Larson and Logan Lerman? Because Brie Larson plays Beatrice, which is kind of a shocker. And then Mullet Fingers, is that his name?
Yeah.
Mullet Fingers is played by the guy who was in Hannah Montana that we were like, oh my gosh, is she gonna pick Jake or what's his name?
Exactly. Jesse, I
Yeah.
think was his name.
Yeah. And so she's significantly taller. She's only 2 years older than Logan Lerman. It's just middle school. That's just the reality of middle school.
But like even when you are the same age in middle school, you still tower over
Yeah.
people. So choosing someone who is also 2 years older than like a 14, 15-year-old Logan Lerman was a choice.
It was so funny. It was really cute. It was very middle school, like the they're very
It was
clearly
very
like
cute.
little kids.
She's
I
got the
saw
bayonetta glasses. Oh yeah.
she did have the bayonetta glasses.
Also crazy hairstyles.
Yeah, a lot of clips, a lot of fun colors. They
Raves.
definitely like towards the end of the movie stopped doing the hairstyles, which I was like, what happened?
They just got tired of it. It was too much.
I saw a lot of critiques of this movie being like, this is so boring. This is so boring. But I feel like this movie just reminds me of like when I was a kid and I read Because of Winn-Dixie, and then we watched the movie in school. Like I feel like that's what it is. You know what I mean? It's like one of those movies you watch because you read the book and it's like for kids. So it's like not gonna be the most entertaining. Also, it's an environmentalist movie. It's kind of hard to make those like no hate. Like it's hard. So I feel like for a kid's movie, it was exactly what I thought it was gonna be. You know, it's 2006. We have the hard cuts to the beach. They're talking. We're getting the plot moving. The kids learn a lesson at the end. They learn to be like more active about the environment in their community. I don't know. I was sitting there and I was like, I feel like there's nothing bad about this movie necessarily.
I wonder, I mean, you were pointing out how you could kind of tell like where the commercial breaks were. So I wonder if this came out like direct to TV or DVD or if it like actually premiered in theaters. I'm
I
looking.
think it did have a limited run, but it sold a lot more DVDs or VHSs or whatever it was.
I'm looking at it. It does. It looks like it did come out in theaters. Here it says, in 2007, Hoot topped The Seeker. I've never heard of that. In
Me
reaching
either.
number one in the worst super saturated openings in the US and Canada. So I guess they mean like they did not need to show it in as many theaters as they did because that many people were not seeing it.
Oh, I thought it was because, what's it called? I thought it was because they had a lot of movies coming out at the same time. Oh, no, that was something
Maybe.
else I had read. It was they were going to release it the same time that Mission Impossible 3 was coming out, and then they were like, "Oh, we should push it to the next one," but it just didn't, yeah, it didn't help.
Did you read the book that this is based on? I
No, I never read the book.
think I read Chomp, which is by the same author. Could not tell you a single thing that happened in that book. But I remember seeing the covers of these like in the school library growing up. And I was just like, everybody's on this, so I feel like I have to read. The Chomp one had a gator on the front. So
Oh,
I guess
okay, I
like,
do see it.
yeah.
I
But
do remember this. I wrote this down. I don't know if you remember this, but they had something called Sunshine State Young Reader books, and this
yep.
is what it reminds, like watching this movie threw me back to that feeling of reading those books when I was a kid.
Maybe that was why I read Chomp because I looked up when Chomp came out. It came out in 2012. And I feel like at 12, I was already on like my Hunger Games grind. So the only reason I can think of that I would care to read a book like this is if it was for the Sunshine State readers. Because I'm sure other states have something similar. But for anybody listening, it was basically like a huge list of books. They had, I think they had one in high school, but at that point, no one gave a fuck.
Yeah.
And so, but in middle school and elementary school, it was like if you read a certain number of them, there's like different tiers of like recognition. I don't know. I don't even know. Clearly, I never got that far. But some people were like on that grind. Like people took it so serious. Did you take it super seriously?
When I was in elementary school, I was doing it. I'm like, okay, guys. I was not cool. I didn't have a lot of friends. I did like reading.
I remember I loved reading too, but I just did not care to read those specific books. And like, how like school, you have like your school like news that's produced by the school, and they would show the kids that like made it to like whatever tier on the school news. And I'd be like, wow, we get it. You can read like a lot of books.
I would like to admit also, I don't even know if I should admit this. I was like the only third and fourth grader doing it at my like
Oh.
before I moved to where we live. And so I was like the only kid there at the ice cream party at the end of the year being like, hey, with a ton of fifth graders, because like no one else was reading.
No,
I
a
was on
lot
it though. There were
is.
some pretty good books on the list. Some of them were like, eh. But I remember most of them being pretty okay. I like a guided
Yeah.
reading. I wish someone would make them for me now. I would devour.
We should make our own and post it on like
Literally, like,
the
it's like a like if someone could make that for movies too, my watch list basically is what does that for me. But but yeah, I love a guided a guided thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All the throwbacks this episode.
I know. It feels so kid in Florida, truly. In a positive way. In a positive way. What's it called? One scene that I really like is that every time the police officer is meeting with the captain, they're never in an office. They're just having lunch at a beachside restaurant and having like French fries. And I don't know why I find that so funny. But if you've ever like eaten at a beachside restaurant, it's so loud and windy and everything, and they're just
I
having
was
a
like,
chill time.
it is not peaceful. There's like tons of touristy families, just like, and they're screaming children, and there's
Seagulls.
like loud live music playing. It's like the most stressful possible environment that you could be having this conversation right now. And you're not in a bathing suit and you're outside, so it's hot. Like, you have to be, he's in a full suit. But yeah.
Yeah. I think the only other note I had about this movie was that I wrote they don't make anti-CEO slash oil baron slash franchise movies like they used to. And then I was thinking, because I was like, what is another movie similar? And then I thought, the original Muppets movie where they're trying to stop that guy from making that frog restaurant where he's like selling frog legs and they're like, don't make this into a franchise. And then I thought, oh, also the new Muppets movie where they're fighting an oil baron.
Also,
So,
Big Fat Liar, and
Big Fat
also
Liar.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
There are so many from like era of movies.
No,
There
I literally wrote, I wrote, I miss CEOs from early 2000 movies that have cunty little Bluetooth earpieces.
Uncle Ian.
They all have them. It's like a symbol of power.
And they like cut people off and they're like, wait. And
They,
they're
but
like
they
talking.
specifically, they put it, it doesn't do anything, I don't
No.
think, to hold your finger on it. But they got
Yeah.
one finger on the thing, and they're like, excuse me, I'm in a meeting. I miss it so much.
And like they have the, what's it called? The BlackBerry phone where it like slid and
Yes.
they could type on it.
Bring them back. We all need to free ourselves from iPhones and just bring back like slide phones.
People are gonna listen to this episode and be like, y'all are so old. That's crazy.
No, stop it. We're only, well, now you're 24. We're only 23.5. Did you have any other thoughts on it?
I wanted to bring up the thought that you were like, You texted me and you were like, I kind of regret picking this movie. I thought there were more hijinks. And then I was like, oh, I can't remember exactly what happens in the movie. So I was watching it and I was like, these aren't hijinks. He has a bag of cotton mouths and throw gators in the toilets. Like, he's serious about this. And then when they're like, oh, he's gonna like bulldoze everything, he's like, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take his car, I'm gonna hotwire it, I'm gonna throw a brick on the on the gas, put the turn off the emergency brake and let it run into the like beach. Then he's like, and then my plotting will start. And I was like, whoa.
You're like, that wasn't the plotting right
No.
there. No, like, I was, when I texted you that, I was like, I don't know if hijinks is the right word, but I can't describe like what I am missing in this movie. But like, for example, I don't know why I keep bringing this up as like a comparison, but Big Fat Liar has hijinks. The kids take pleasure in like doing the schemes that they're doing, and they're unnecessarily complicated. These children are putting themselves to work. They are taking no pleasure in the fact that they have to do this. Like Logan, it's like Big Fat Liar. They're like, we're gonna like play with the different disguises in the Universal room, and we're gonna turn this man blue. And then in this movie, they're like, we're gonna go to the public records office.
They're like, we're gonna expose him for the rat he is in front of the whole community.
They fully have to plan a grand opening of another, like on another day. Like, they're just, nothing they're doing is hijinks. It's just work.
The kids are calling, being like, I'm actually the assistant of, the CEO. We're trying to get this going. Another person's like, I'm actually catering. We need this earlier, so sorry, you know how plans. And I'm like, whoa.
I guess like that's what's missing is there's no flair to the hijinks or whatever you want to call them that they are committing. They're just doing them. It's very similar with like just the way they deliver lines is very like, I don't know how to describe it.
It feels like a movie they show at school.
It's exactly what like I thought that this was gonna have like Disney Channel vibes, but this literally has like made to be shown at school vibes specifically.
It feels like the book came off the page exactly. You ever read the book Inkheart, where she just reads it and it comes to life? That's how
I have not, but I know what you're talking about.
it felt.
Oh, also something I just remembered, the background music, I don't know if you caught this, it's so literal. The background music will like narrate what is happening. Like at one point they're on the bus and the music in the background goes, and all the cool kids in the back of the, and then at the end they're like doing their little montage of like, and so Roy had his happily ever after and this kid is still homeless, and the background music is like, good guys win sometimes in the end.
It reminds me of those 80s movies we watched earlier on in the pod, and the movie would like literally sing the themes. Like, it would be the theme song, which is the title of the movie.
It killed me. It kills me. One of my favorite scenes was his, like, Roy's parents, like, kiss him goodnight. I don't remember the events of the day in this scene before all of this, but you get this like wide shot of just him in his bed in the dark bedroom. And then you hear, before you see her, you hear Brie Larson like mock whatever his mom said. They were like tucking him in and stuff. And you hear Brie Larson, you don't know where she's coming from. She's like, tuck, tuck, tuck. I'm like, this is so Edward in Twilight, like specifically the first movie, when he like sneaks into her bedroom. And then he's like, who's there? And she's like, it's me. And then she comes out, and I don't remember what they're talking about, but she says this line, she threw a clock, she's talking about her stepmom. She threw a clock radio at his head, so I beamed her with a mango.
Yeah.
If the whole
Yeah.
movie had that kind of flair. I would be sad. But there's no other line like this in the movie. She just says that, and then everything else is normal. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting. This movie was a commercial failure and got a lot of negative reviews, apparently. And mainly the reviews from like critics were that it was like not entertaining. But also the like general public reviews were like, I mean, it's fine. So like I think sometimes as a critic, we don't have to be reviewing like all the movies.
I think that we should pay children to review movies and we let them just like post reviews. No one edits them. We don't fix the typos. It's just, we can even have them do it on like notebook paper and then we scan it. We just like scan it and we post it. And that's all I need to know. Because all the brother or all the brothers, all the movies that your brother is like 10 out of 10 that are for his age range, I'm like, you're right. The Freddy Fazbear movie, the FNAF movie was great, for what it was. I don't need all of these critics in my ear being like, meh. And I'm like, just enjoy the movie.
That's exactly how I felt watching. That's how I feel when I watch a movie and don't rate it on Letterboxd. I'm like, this didn't need my review. It's already spoken for itself. You know what I mean? Like my brother in the FNAF movie. Sometimes, you know what? I just have to sit down and listen because he's a 13-year-old boy and I am 24. Like,
You're
what
like,
is
I
my
am
business being
not the
like? I don't
demographic.
know if the FNAF movie really hit the mark.
And like, it didn't touch enough on the capitalistic society of the like.
I feel like William Afton should have been more included because how are we gonna set up?
They don't give us any reason to root for him. It insists upon it.
I love that.
But yeah. All of that being said, I did think that this movie was boring. But to each their own. And it's still like I enjoyed the Florida of it all, but I would just like to say, disclaimer, in real life, I don't need a reason. I care about the existence of endangered animals just like by the fact that they exist. But in the context of, making a good movie, I feel like they don't make us care about the owls. I don't know if that's like a bad take. You don't even like they don't feature the owls enough. I care about the owls because they exist, but like in the terms of like I care about the owls, okay? I care about the owls, but I'm saying like you could like try at least. They
They're
phoned it
supposed to
in.
be cute and sweet, like
But they phoned it in. They were like, here's your owls. And they'll care about them. They don't need any motivation. Are you technically correct? Yes. But I feel like they didn't show any real conflict, okay? And again, maybe I'm being the critic that we were just making fun of, but like the they didn't show us like I wouldn't I'm gonna stop talking. Do you know what I'm trying to get at, or should I delete that entire part?
I know what you're saying, but it's so funny to me. The owls really should have defended themselves.
I wanted to hear the owl's perspective.
Were the owls CGI'd in?
I don't know, because one of the reviews was like, so we still don't know how to make like good CGI owls. And I was like, I thought they were believable. This is the Labyrinth episode all over again. I was like,
Literally.
it was a believable owl to me. I think in the very last scene where they come out of the hole, that might have been like edited, CGI'd in, I don't know, because they looked like they weren't completely proportional to the whole. I care about the owls. I care about them, I swear. I just mean like plot wise. I needed a little more.
Okay,
But yeah.
so apparently they were live owls.
Okay. I thought you'd mean they
Also,
were CGI. I was about to be like, could have fooled me.
apparently they were live owls, but also the owls, it's like a story about advocating for the protection of animals, but also providing a proper environment for young people as they grow up. Yeah. But I guess they were live owls. I feel like they definitely cut to like scenes of them though.
Yeah. Little things here and there. Oh yeah, okay. So in the beginning of the movie, when Roy is first introduced to all of his classmates, he's wearing what's supposed to be like a Montana outfit. It's like a plaid long sleeve button up, a huge belt and jeans. And then everyone else is in like quote unquote like normal clothes, like a polo and shorts, I guess. And he comes up to Jimmy Buffett, and Jimmy Buffett's like, let me guess, you're not from here. And I'm like, half of our school wore the outfit that Roy is wearing in this scene to school every day. Like, I don't know, maybe they wear something different on like the coast of Florida at their schools, but people in our schools, they were pulling up every day in just some variation of like a plaid button up, huge buckle belt, and jeans. That was my critique of that scene.
Yeah, also Jimmy Buffett teacher is wearing shorts and like a t-shirt every time he's teaching.
See, if everybody were in like Hawaiian shirts, I'd be like, all right, I get it. We're making like a visual difference, but they're just in normal clothes. I'm like, where I'm from, they'd be wearing the same thing that Roy's wearing right now. But also tiny thing that I noticed in the CEO's office, there's like a photo of him next to a zebra that he has poached.
I saw
And I
that.
said,
I saw that and I was
like,
like, there's no way,
oh.
right? There was a way.
They don't touch on it at all.
Nope.
It's
It's
just a
just part of the
visual
character
gag.
background.
And then I think my last note was just that there's so much ADR where their mouths clearly aren't moving, or their like faces are completely obstructed by like there's a lot of gagging and choking and covering people with bags and blankets. And I'm like, this wouldn't sound like this. It's like very clear, audible, 80-yard in audio. But yeah, guess that's all of my stuff that I noticed. So, how many, or what specific owls are they? How many owls out of five would you give this movie?
I'd say 2.5. Two and a half seems to be a good consensus with everyone too.
I think I'd agree. I think anything lower than that, and you're like, okay, it's a kid's movie.
Yeah. Like
Did
two
you
and a half for me, but
recast?
if I was a science teacher, I would show this to kids. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah. It's just like an easy movie to pop in and be like, yay, environmentalism.
yeah.
Did you
Oh, you said if
recast?
I recast it? No, I'm sorry. I have such a hard time
No, you're
recasting
good.
kid actors. I just really can't.
I considered texting you and being like, so we're not doing this one, right? But then I was hit with a stroke of genius.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so here's my recast.
Okay.
Roy is played by Veronica. Beatrice is played by Dark Betty, specifically. Mullet Fingers is played by Jughead. The cop, obviously Archie's dad. CEO man, obviously Veronica's dad, Hiram Lodge. The bully, obviously Reggie. And the random kid that helps Roy, because there's this like, he probably introduces himself. But there's this like one kid who becomes his first friend, and then he kind of just completely ditches him for Beatrice
Yeah.
and Mullet Fingers. And then eventually the kid is just like happy to be included in the end, where like they enlist him for their like grand schemes, but they don't include him at all. They don't really interact with him at all, except for Roy one-on-one. But yeah, that kid is Archie. And then I have a plot here. So Veronica, aka Roy, is new in town. Her family has moved. It's called Coconut Cove. I don't know if we ever said that. I think
Yeah.
we did. We were like, this place does not exist. I think it's supposed to be like Fort Myers, Fort Lauderdale area. Don't ask me if those places are near each other at all. I just remember seeing those two names. I looked up where these specific owls are supposed to like be in
Yeah.
Florida, and it said like around Fort Myers, so one of the forts. But Veronica's family has moved to Coconut Cove to see through the opening of the 100th Mother Paula's Pancake House, which is a name that they would so give something in Riverdale. One day, a dead body is found mutilated beyond recognition in one of the owl holes.
Oh.
And Veronica is on site because she's helping with the family business, and she sees where, yeah, she catches a glimpse of Betty and Jughead spying on her. They explain that Archie went missing a week before, and they fear that he is also dead, like this body that got killed at this pancake site. And they suspect that Veronica's dad is behind it since they've all been trying to stop the construction. Long story short, they also explain to Veronica about the owls. They're like, we got to stop it for the owls. And then she's like, hell yeah, like I didn't know about the owls, like I'll help you try to stop my dad. Long story short, Archie is actually the Owl King. He has the owl gene, and the unrecognizable body was an employee of Hiram's who Archie caught trying to take the owls out. So Archie took him out. So Archie slash this random kid kills the guy trying to harm the owls. That's the body they find. So then Archie sicks all the owls because he can mentally control the owls. He sicks them on Veronica's dad. Her dad dies. The company is left in her name, and she shuts down construction and then uses the money to start a speakeasy under the Universal Studios Margaritaville.
You know that clip of those two guys, and one of them is explaining the plot of Twilight, and the other one just takes off his headphones and then puts them back on?
You mean the Kelsey brother?
Yeah. That was insane, but it sounds like exactly what a Riverdale episode would be because I have no idea what's happening in them ever.
No, like I was thinking about the plot of this movie and I was like, this is kind of like the exact groundwork of like a Riverdale plot. And then it just snowballed from there.
That was incredible though. The
Thank
thought
you.
and precision that went through it. Like you really just gave them an episode.
I really did. It's over now, but
Yeah.
if you want to remake this movie with like a darker twist or something, that's just a
A
little,
glimpse
that's just
into
one
your.
glimpse into my dark, twisted mind. Yeah. Man,
My
what did
God.
you love this week?
Wait, did you not have Letterboxd reviews?
Oh, I do. I forgot. Okay.
You can go first.
Okay, this one is by Defamiliarize. It was they gave it 2.5 stars and said, my man is putting alligators inside porta johns and pretending to care about animals. Get a job. And then this one is by Sage, who gave it 2 stars and said, there's a snake in my hoot. Because there's this one guy that comes in later who keeps saying snake like snake. And then last but not least, I have this is by Wizard Pepsi, who gave it 1.5 stars and said, why was Werewolves of London playing?
The song came out and jumped. Like, I was like, whoa, what?
I was like, this isn't London, this is Florida. I guess the dogs, but the
Yeah.
dogs were not wolves.
Mm-mm.
They missed with that one. But
Yeah.
what about your Letterboxd reviews?
Mine is from Zoe, who gave it 3 stars. Logan Lerman acts the same way in every movie. These like little kid ones where he's younger, it just like I was like, this is Percy Jackson. This is
It literally is.
this is when Lights Out 127 gave it 3.5 and liked it and
Ooh.
said, Jesus Christ, the reaction to this film in the mainstream press was deranged. Who knew a sweet coming-of-age film about a group of misfit kids engaging in innocuous acts of protest against the destruction of an owl habitat could be so controversial and set off a moral panic about eco-terrorism among the youth? This country is fucked up.
I feel
Like,
like
I wish I was there to see, like, because, like, the kids are protesting actively. Yes. But that's good. We should teach kids to protest. This is like how I say, if you live in Florida,
oh my
take
gosh.
you
Take
should
your
vote
arms.
to the
This is a
polls.
call to arms.
Pick
Take your arms and pick up a picket sign.
a picket sign and head to the polls. But
Which I feel like
yeah.
we have to say shout out to the student protesters that have been protesting
Real.
at the encampment. But yeah.
Real at every university, because that's real shit. That's
Not to bring
for
down
real.
the mood, but I was like, I feel like we gotta say it because this movie,
No, real.
as you know, for kids as it is, great lesson. They
Yeah,
show
teaching
this
kids
to
to
us,
advocate,
and
protest.
then they're like, where did this come from?
Yeah, real. I
To
agree.
show
I
them this
agree.
movie. But yeah.
Incredible respect to all of them. I really, honestly, prayers for Gaza and all the Palestinians. 'Cause, yeah.
I think that specifically pertaining to like that last review that you read, this movie also came out in like a period of time where I feel like there was a lot of like I don't know if like us growing up were just more adjusted to like seeing protests for a lot of things. But I feel like protests for like environmental things were very popular around this time. 'Cause I remember like it and like also unreasonably made fun of. Like it was a plot in several TV shows that I can remember, or they're like I think there's an episode of That's So Raven where Raven's friend, I don't remember her name, Chelsea, she ties herself to like a tree, I think. And the whole episode is kind of like, it's kind of the butt of the joke. Like, I can't remember exactly. It takes her like semi-seriously, but it is like, oh, like, look at this like quirky best friend. She ties herself to trees. And then in Hannah Montana, I remember there's like this girl that would crush on Miley's brother all the time. And she was like a huge like environmentalist, and there's like he's trying to get rid of her in one episode, so he's using all of this like hairspray to actively contribute to the destruction of the ozone layer, and we're supposed to be like, that girl's mad annoying.
I think in another one where it's like the main character doing it, like Ella Enchanted, they're like actively protesting the monarchy and like they tie themselves to trees and they're fighting for rights and stuff like that. And like it's kind of played as a joke, but I would say in Ella Enchanted it's a little less because like we genuinely get into Ella's character and being like, no, this really does matter. And like Prince Char has the power to change that, and like we obviously more, but like I get what you're saying. Like it definitely is like the tying yourself to trees thing is a big thing in media. I think even in like, I think what is it? The movie Flipped. It's like the little girl and the little boy, and she really loves this tree, and she like stays in the tree until they like basically force her to come down to cut it down.
Never seen that movie.
Oh yeah, I think unless I'm confusing with another movie. But yeah, tying yourself to tree is a big like trope for like representing environmental activism and things like that, but it's real, bro. There are people tying themselves to trees. And like that like, because it's like physically putting yourself in harm's way. It is crazy. Man.
Man, what do you
I
love this week?
oh.
Oh.
I was like, damn, we wrapping it up? That was it? Okay. Let's talk what you love this week. Man, what did you love this week?
I was like, I need time. Here, I don't really have anything because it hasn't been that long since we recorded. Let me look at my music.
Something I have loved, and I sent you, like, I spammed you with it today, are clips of the Brazilian telenovela Hilda Hurricane. I think it's called Hilda Furacao in like Portuguese, but love, I'm gonna watch the whole thing. I'm gonna see it. No one can stop me. I want to see it so bad. I've been wanting to see this telenovela for so long. I think it's time. I think it's time for me to graduate into telenovelas as a Hispanic woman coming of age. I just feel like it's something you yearn for. But it's simmering. The clips, if you saw my bookmarked posts on TikTok right now, at least six of the most recent ones are clips or edits from that telenovela. I just want to see it so bad. I want to see it so bad, and they can't stop me. But yeah, I think that's the main thing, other than watching like queso clips. I'm going home. I'm very excited to go back to Florida. I'm excited to sit in the sun. I'm excited to sit in the water. I'm excited to sit at Publix. I'm excited to be at multiple locales, and really, really dive into that. I'm very excited. What did you love this week?
Well, I was scouring my TikTok to see if there's any patterns that I notice and things that I've been liking. The only one that I noticed is, I don't know if you brought this up last week. I don't think you did. I think you brought up the being mindful meme, but I've been loving the one where it's like two identical cartoons talking to each other with speech bubbles. And one of them, I'll use an example because I'm looking at one right now. I liked this because it killed me. And we posted one. If you don't, it's like our most recent TikTok. But this one is like, yeah, I'm pretty nervous to graduate. And then the other guy goes, be mindful of why you were invited to the commencement ceremony. And then he looks at him like, and then he goes, yeah, I'm pretty nervous to graduate. I went to the locked-in factory and everyone said you were crying in the corner. And he makes the face again. Yeah, I'm pretty nervous to graduate. Me when I can't accept change. I'll skip some.
I have so many of those that I love. This one is just about visiting your friend. And it was like, yeah, so I went to go visit my friend. Me when I visit my friend. Or one of them was like, yeah, so I went to go visit my friend. I went to friend visiting island and everyone there knew you.
It's so stupid. They're like, yeah, I went to visit my friend. Went to equals Onika, like visiting friend equals burger. I hate that I figured out Onika burgers so late into the meme because like I feel like it only recently started becoming like really like widespread, but like Drew and Anya have been talking about Onika Burgers, like referencing it on their podcast for like ages. And every time they would say it, I'd just be like, I'm never gonna know what this means. And I just accepted that. But then people started also being like, what is Onika Burgers?
Oh my gosh, I found another one of these,
Yeah.
and it's the one that says, "Will you marry m?" And it's like in my wife era. Will you marry? Stop. Are you being for real? Will you marry? Not me getting engaged. Will you marry me? Okay, monogamy. Will you marry me? It's giving devoted. Me when I'm engaged.
Literally how I worry that I talk sometimes.
Try not to get proposed to, challenge impossible.
Like 12 minutes of me being proposed to straight. Yeah. And then I guess for music, we still haven't seen Challengers yet. We will do it eventually. Stop it. We know that you want it, okay? We listened. I'm kidding. But I really like that song that's trending right now from it, Uncle Ace by Blood Orange. There's like a different song. I only know like one other song by Blood Orange. Let me see. It's from the same album. You're Not Good Enough. I really like that one too. But yeah. Man.
I
Love.
film.